I'm Lauren Milberger.
And I'm Rachel Leishman.
And you were just listening to the wonderful musical stylings of Steph Dunn,
who, surprisingly, is going to be on the episode today.
She is our special guest. She wrote the song Harrison Ford and is obviously a Harrison Ford fan.
Yes. So we'll and I found her.
Oh, yeah. Tell everybody how you found her song.
Well, so I wake up every morning to a bunch of different theme songs. Like, I wake up to the American Psycho soundtrack. I wake up to Adele. But, like, the last one is the Indiana Jones theme song, because it makes me want to get out of bed and, like, do some stuff. And so I was searching for it, and I just typed in, instead of typing in Indiana Jones theme, I typed in Harrison Ford. And then this song popped up, and I was like, oh, wow, are there songs about Harrison Ford? And so I went on Spotify and found this one, which is, like, really funny and really clever.
Yeah, and fit us. It's cute. Yeah. It's adorable and really good music. And she also is got some great other songs. I listened to most of her songs on Spotify as well.
Yeah. So she'll be here in a little bit.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to very quickly talk about Apocalypse Now, because we watched Apocalypse Now for the small scene the Harrison Ford
was. Yes. Which is...
Well, correction. Lauren watched the entirety of Apocalypse Now, and I just Google searched the scene and watched it.
That is true. And I have to say that it is a beautiful, glorious movie that I will never see again, because it's so disturbing. But wow, what a well put together film. In fact, I just think that there's probably been so much said about this classic movie that we should just focus on Harrison in it, because there's nothing that I think we can add to the conversation. It's just a wonderful anti-war movie. Although I found it funny that I think people will watch it differently and maybe not see it as an anti-war movie and think it's cool. To me, it felt like a horror film.
True. I mean, I like the scene I saw. I'm like a terrible person, and I've been so crazy busy that I like the idea of sitting down to watch a 3-hour movie made me sick. So I just watched the scene to make myself
Which many of you, I think, who are listening to this podcast can do, but I do highly recommend it. It is sort of interesting, though, in the timeline of Harrison's career, because George Lucas and Coppola his associate who ended up writing it, John, and again, I'm terrible with names, let's see if I say it right, Milius, came up with this idea like years ago, and it was in development for 4 years, and George Lucas was supposed to direct this movie. But by the time they got to the point where they were going to be doing it, he had already been, you know, working on Star Wars and was about to start that, so there was like no time. So it's sort of interesting how, again, all of these people, and it was, you know, one of the producers is Fred Roos, who recommended that Harrison play this really, really small part of Colonel Lucas. And it says G. Lucas on his little name thing, so it's a whole thing. Again, are sort of all coming together to help Harrison, you know, with his career. And it's considered one of the, like, the greatest movies of all time. Like, it's on, it's either number one or in the top 10 of most, you know, best movies or movies you have to see before you die.
It's all over.
The performances are wonderful. Martin Sheen had a heart attack during it. This is why it took so long. Like, he actually probably filmed this either before Star Wars or, like, right after Star Wars, and it didn't come out until 79, because it just took so long. Like, there was a typhoon in the Philippines. There's this scene at the beginning, and I just want to talk about it because it's really interesting, before he gets to the scene where he meets Harrison's character, where he's, like, on this bender, and he's, like, drunk. Martin Sheen was actually apparently drunk. And then after that, at 36 years old, had a heart attack.
Jesus.
They said that Coppola went crazy. He said that it was, like, this isn't about Vietnam, man. This is Vietnam. So this whole movie had this huge thing. It went over budget. Harrison was flown to the Philippines to film a scene inside. Could have just filmed it on a soundstage.
Yeah, you had to go to the Philippines?
Yeah. Oh, to film this really, really small scene. Martin Sheen, who's the lead character, is named Benjamin Willard. And those are Harrison's kids' names.
Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, yeah. So it was like sort of, again, this sort of weird sort of fate thing. And Harvey Keitel did the movie for 2 weeks before he was fired and replaced by Martin Sheen. And in disclosure, I'm a huge West Wing fan. So this is really cool to see. And in fact, there's a line that Sorkin later brings into the West Wing in Harrison's scene. Which shall we talk about?
Yes, I like how awkward he is. I think it's so cute.
Yeah, he talked about this is all on purpose. He pretty much is, Harrison is in, I would say, the big exposition scene. If you're a West Wing fan, it would be a Donna scene. Just going to put in as many references as all I possibly right. can. None of you will get them, except if you are a huge West Wing fan like I am. No, I'm kidding. I won't throw too many in. But Martin Sheen's character is going to be going on a journey, obviously, as most people are in film, to find Marlon Brando's character, Kurtz, who they believe has gone crazy. He was running a platoon, and he's made himself sort of a demigod. And so he's going to go on this journey to assassinate him. Very similar, interesting plot, it sounds like, to Force 10, but it's not. So in this scene, Martin Sheen's character, after this bender, he's actually punched a mirror, which Martin Sheen did, so that was real blood at the beginning of the movie. And Harrison's Colonel Lucas, Colonel G. Lucas, is one of the characters that explains to him what has been happening with this Kurtz character and how he needs to go kill him, and that is his mission. He's very awkward. He's got these glasses on. He's very thin. He has this really short haircut.
He's so skinny.
Really skinny. In fact, the first shot of Harrison is a wide shot, and I didn't know it was him. Of course, I'm watching it on my phone because we had to watch so many movies. That was the only way I was having time to do it, was on the subway on my phone, which was also a big mistake because I was reacting to a lot of the surprises and the violence, and I think I scared some of the people who were sitting next to me. I had to stop at one point. But yeah, and he drops, like, he has all the papers in this, like, folder, and he, like, drops them awkwardly, and he's, like, clearing his throat, sort of, like, grabbing a cigarette. Like, it's a really good performance. And George Lucas, in fact, didn't recognize him. And Harrison was like, that's my job. I'm an actor. You're not supposed to. So I really, for the very, very brief time he's in this movie, it's even smaller than Getting Straight.
Yeah.
He's in it less time than Getting Straight.
Getting Straight was...
We don't have to remember that.
An experience.
That's for sure. I really liked the detail that he gave to this character that really didn't need to even have... Because he'd just been himself. It's really just giving exposition and talking about the mission, about what's going to happen, and he really made him a distinct, different character.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And I'm pretty sure later on in the movie, I think that he has a little bit of a voiceover. I heard a voice, and I was like, I think that's Harrison. He's, like, looking at a bunch of the same papers, and I think he hears what he was told. But what are your thoughts?
I mean, I what I could tell from that scene, because granted, I did not watch the whole movie, I thought he was great. Like, it seems like within his bit parts, he put so much effort into, like, the little itty-bitty roles. Yeah. And it's really interesting.
And recently on Tumblr, from when we're recording this, there was an article that was posted which were like scans of his notes from Indiana Jones, which we can obviously talk about more when we get to that. And he really goes a lot into detail and what Mark Hamill was talking about, writing things in the margins. And it doesn't matter how small the character is, he really does his research and takes his time, which is why I think, you know, he's been so successful, among other things.
Yeah, which that's very much a Meisner. Oh, we talked about this before. That's very much a Meisner.
I think a methody thing in general, but yeah.
But that's Meisner's, like, that's what we do.
Well, I did mostly Strasberg, and we also do why am I here, am I given circumstances, where I'm coming from, how I, you know, things behind what you're saying is definitely a modern acting point of view.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. But now we are going to segue.
Yeah, into our interview with Steph Dunn. So enjoy, guys. Rachel?
Hey, Lauren.
Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
So here with Steph Dunn, who is the composer of our amazing theme song, which we love.
Oh, shucks.
We do. Rachel, have you told Steph the story about how you found it?
No, I haven't. So I, my iPad has the Raiders theme on it, because, like, from my brother, like, he, like, had put it on a while ago, so I woke up to it, like, every morning, and so I was going on vacation, and was like, man, I, like, wake up really well to the Raiders theme, so I was like, I need to, like, find it, and so I just, for some dumb reason, put Harrison Ford in the search on iTunes rather than searching for, like, Indiana Jones. Yeah. And so as I was going through, like, your song came up, like, a bunch of Harrison Ford songs came up, and I was like, what the hell is all of it? And so then I ended up, like, going on Spotify and just searching all of them. Some of them are weird.
But hers, was hers the first one to come up?
Hers was the first one I listened to.
Oh, how funny is that?
Because wow.
It's perfect.
I liked hers a lot, and I, like, put it on a playlist. And I was like, I'm going to listen to a couple of these. And one was, like, a guy being like, I want to be like Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
like,
I think I listened to that one, too, yeah. Or there was a techno version one that was just called Harrison Ford that I
There's
listened to.
There's a band called Harrison Ford Fiesta.
There is. There's a band called Harrison Ford Fiesta.
Oh, here I was thinking I was so original, having a...
There's a whole band called Harrison Ford.
But I think that what makes yours unique is that it's beautiful music, but it's also really quirky and funny, and so you have a sense of humor about it.
Oh, thank you. That's what She's I was
good.
Going for,
yeah.
Like the novelty side of the song.
The novelty of it.
Yes.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? You're in Canada. You're a musician. How did you start in music? What made you decide to be a musician?
Okay. Well, I'm a high school music and art teacher in the daytime. And then my night job, I'm a professional musician. And I got into music probably when I was about 17. I picked up a crappy guitar and learned how to play it. And I started writing music in my early 20s. And since then, I've put out two albums. The first album had Harrison Ford on it. And it's a really fun side gig for me to share my music and then write my music. So, yeah.
And did I read, I was looking you up a little bit, you play a couple of different instruments?
I do. I play guitar and piano, and I sing, and I also play the harmonica and the kazoo sometimes. So I'm kind of a one-woman show. I do play with bands sometimes, but I'm on my own. I play piano and guitar and sing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your sort of first Harrison Ford experience? I don't know if you listened to our first show, but we talked about kind of the first movie that we saw, or like what our first memory of becoming like fans of Harrison Ford.
It was Indiana Jones all the way for me. I growing up watching Indiana Jones, there was just something about him that I just loved. I couldn't get enough of. My dad used to wear a fedora in the early 90s, and I thought that was so cool because I thought he kind of looked like Harrison Ford or kind of looked like Indiana Jones. And I was just a huge fan of that trilogy and of Star Wars as well. And yeah, so those are probably my favorites, I would say, too. That's where I kind of fell in love with them. So. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to your show, guys, and I have to say, Rachel, my least favorite of the trilogy is Raiders, and I'm sorry to say that.
Oh, it's okay. It's funny because I love Raiders, but like I have a Last Crusade shirt that I wear all the time.
Yeah.
And every time I wear it, there's one guy who always looks at me and goes, "Have you ever even seen that movie?" And I'm like, "No, I'm just advertising a movie I've never even seen."
From the 80s.
Yeah, like what kind of question is that? And I'm like, "Yes, I've seen it."
Well, I noticed you have a couple of more Temple of Doom references in your song, so I had a feeling that might be your favorite. Do you have a favorite?
My second favorite, but I think it's the most terrifying. So there's something that's kind of macabre about it that
that's
I really
true.
Love. But The Last Crusade is my favorite.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Rachel is now scared of me.
But yeah, The Last Crusade is so meaty in its plot. And then The Temple of Doom, there's just something really, really terrifying that it still kind of stands the test of time, too. I watched it the other day, and it's still terrifying when that guy gets his heart ripped out of his
head. Particularly when you're a little kid.
Scene made me fall up the stairs on the subway when I was watching it, mainly because he's shirtless. And I was, like, walking up the subway stairs and wouldn't stop watching it for some reason. Like, I just kept my phone in front of my face and just tripped up the stairs when he came out shirtless.
You're like the people I watch read books out of the subway.
I did that today, too.
How do you do that?
I did that so I could finish reading American Psycho today. Like, I was walking out of the subway stairs with it open, like, so I could finish it.
That's multitasking. I can't do that.
Yeah, I'm impressed by that.
It's a dangerous life I lead.
Well, I guess it's dangerous in New York.
Yeah, because I fall. I'm always like, whoa, going down.
I thought it was interesting that I had asked you, our audience, in an email, you know, if you had favorites, which you did mention, but you said all three Indiana Jones movies?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I thought that was very specific wording. You know, we want to be respectful, but I'm assuming you mean the first three are your favorite.
The first
no, she
three.
Loves Crystal Skull.
She loves
Gretchen. I fell asleep in the theater.
I
went from enraged to, like, narcoleptic watching it. I really, really didn't like it. But I'm worried that one day maybe Harrison will listen, or if he isn't already listening to this podcast, in which case I'm sorry. Because,
I kind of hope he isn't, but I don't know.
Oh, if he is, he's like, there is a 24-year-old girl who has the biggest boner for me, and it's terrifying. I'm like, sorry, dude. Be privileged. I'm 24. That's great. You're 73, and I'm still like, nah, okay. Be overjoyed.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't love Crystal Skull, but I think you guys probably feel the same way.
Yes. Yeah. For a hot second, when she started that sentence, I was like, I don't understand what's wrong with it. And then I was like, oh, wait. The thing is, I have the same opinion about Crystal Skull that I do the prequels and stuff like that. It's something I love, so I like it, because it's like,
I agree.
It's Indiana Jones still, and like the same thing with Phantom Menace, like it's still Star Wars. Like, yeah, it wasn't a great movie, but it's Star Wars. So it's like, that's the opinion I have on, like, I don't discredit people who are like, no, I hated it. I'm like, you, that's an opinion that you're more than welcome to have. For me, it's like, that is something I love. I love that whole franchise, so I'm just going to enjoy it because it's something that I love and is back.
I agree. Right. And I think that there are still moments from Crystal Skull that I can go, okay, well, this banter was cute and Marion was back and I like this.
He survived a atomic bomb in a refrigerator, and I think that's pretty badass.
There's something still really campy about it, which is so endearing about the first ones in the 80s as well, too.
I also appreciate that they were going with the whole concept of sort of what was in that time period, mm-hmm. and that it was the 50s, so they did sci-fi, and I appreciate the effort of what
they
were trying to do.
It was fine until fucking Kate Blanchett was an alien, too. Then it just got weird.
I forgot about that.
It was, like, fine, and I was, like, great with it until Kate Blanchett was an alien. And I don't know why I thought that was weird for Indiana Jones when they literally took a heart out of a man.
I know, right?
But
for some reason, aliens people, like, went
off the
wall.
Yeah, I was like, hold on, she's an alien? That's some fucked up shit.
My issue... Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think I was asleep during that part, because I didn't remember that part.
Yeah, at the very end, it's, like, revealed that she's one of them.
I had forgotten about that, actually, because I've only seen it once, because I have no interest in seeing it again.
It was going to expire, so I had to watch it, because I rented it on my phone, so I had to watch it when I went through my kick of Indiana Jones recently.
I'd be interested maybe to, when we eventually, you know, we're watching them in order, when we're forced to go back and watch them, if I have the same opinion.
Wait, we said in order, but we did not put the Star Wars Christmas special on that list.
Because we're doing movies. We'll go back.
That is technically a movie.
Okay, I say it's television.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I want to know about
Thank
Lumpy.
You. Staff agrees with me.
What is Lumpy? Wasn't that Chewbacca's son's name?
I don't know. I have
yeah,
only
Lumpy.
Seen clips. We'll go
You've
back.
You've not seen that thing? It's an hour of just Wookiees talking to each other. You don't know what is being said, because it's literally just in Sorokian. I can't talk. It's like literally just them being like, for like an hour. And it's like, there's no words happening. No one is speaking. And then, like, some stormtroopers show up. And then, because Han's trying to get Chewie home before Celebration Day. And then, like...
Oh, no, I've read about it.
Yeah,
I've
Lumpy,
read a lot about
Lumpy
it.
Lumpy got a toy in his room upstairs that, like, the stormtrooper tries to take. And he's like, wow!
Doesn't Carrie Fisher sing at some point?
Oh, they all sing. And Carrie Fisher's coked out of her mind. It is,
that
like,
I did know.
A mess.
I honestly need to watch it again because it's been a really long time.
I didn't know what it was. Like, that my brother... When he was showing me Star Wars, like, made an effort to not show me that, because I had
As
no idea
should.
It existed.
I haven't even seen it, and I applaud that choice.
Well, and so someone at work was just like, you should watch it, and so I propped my phone up to, like, and I, ugh, why? I don't know why I did it. I could have stopped watching it at any point, but I didn't.
I am going to be pure, I'm keeping myself pure, and I don't think I'm going to watch it. But if after we're done with the movies in two years,
you
can watch the movie.
You need
to
watch it just for how much Harrison Ford hates it.
Oh, I've heard.
Because it's so clear. Well, it's the best thing that's ever... He, like, is so mad the entire time. He says a line, and it's just, like, pure anger out of his mouth, and I love it.
Has he ever said in interviews that he hated the experience?
Oh, not that he hated the experience, but, like, they said something during the red carpet for Force Awakens, and they're like, oh, well, would you do another Christmas special? He goes, I would kill myself before I did another one. And then he just, like, walks away from the interviewer, and I was like, damn.
I did see an interview, but it wasn't on the red carpet for Force Awakens. It was during the press junket, and he literally does the sign of the cross with his fingers, I think, when someone mentions it. And it's like, no.
He hated it.
Well, it has a reputation for being terrible.
Right.
Like,
right.
People watch it because it's so bad. It's
because
a reputation for being bad.
Why would you think an hour of furry things not speaking real words would be entertaining for anybody? It's not a real language. No one speaks it. So it's just an hour of gargle noises that nobody knows, and literally little Lumpy clumping into a scene, talking to his mom and his grandpa, and then clumping back out, and then every once in a while Chewbacca and Han are like, we're on our way, and that's it. And then Leia just appears for no reason.
Is Luke's in it too, right? Mark Hamill's in
it? I think. I don't remember. Again, I pretended to not remember it.
I believe
so
a lot. I believe a lot of people watch it while they're high.
I was at work. Why did I do that?
Right.
Why did I do this?
Because you love Harrison Ford.
No, it was dumb. It was a dumb, dumb thing.
So no stars from Rachel.
God. That's like an hour and a half of my life that is just gone. That and Hollywood Homicide. God damn it.
Yes.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, don't.
Don't.
Okay, good to know.
There's a scene, he literally has sunglasses on, is sleeping with the main girl, and he, like, all of a sudden gets a donut somewhere. Like, he just has a donut out of nowhere.
It's Harrison Ford trying to be funny.
No,
I think he has a good sense of humor. I enjoy his sense of humor, but
it was Harrison Ford in a funny movie that he didn't have a say in. So it was like someone else trying to make Harrison Ford jokes, and they didn't work. Because he needs to just be funny on his own.
It looked to me like it was just like, because he plays a cop, so he's eating a donut.
No, he plays a cop, real estate, therapist, whatever the hell his other careers are. He has like 20 jobs in it.
The idea is that the cops in L.A. aren't making enough money, they have to have a second job.
He got like 10 jobs.
Hysterical.
Oh, yeah, it was brilliant. And I never want to see it ever again. But you can listen to our episode next year and just get the gist of it and look at some pictures and it'll all be good.
Well, there's lots of Harrison movies that I haven't seen, and I have to say I love your Working Girl Photoshop image that's on the podcast, because I haven't seen Working Girl either.
Oh my God, I just watched it.
It's a great movie.
A couple months ago on the elliptical at the gym, because my thing is I will just put on Harrison Ford movies while I'm working out. And it's great. And Working Girl's a great one to do that to, because they like objectify him the whole time, and it's fantastic.
He's the romantic interest. Like, it is kind of a great movie, not just because it's a funny movie, it's a Mike Nichols movie, but he's now playing the romantic interest to the lead, which usually he would be the lead and the woman would be his romantic interest. So it's really kind of cool that way.
Yeah.
He sort of fills that sort of void. Yeah.
Really good.
Now, you one of your favorites is Fugitive, which Rachel has not seen.
Oh, I love it.
I love The Fugitive.
Yes.
My dad is a big fan of the TV series, so before I even saw the movie, he would always talk about this TV series. And I was like, Harrison Ford movie? He's like, no, it's a TV series.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah.
No.
So it was a television series, and I maybe the 60s was definitely black and white. I don't have any research in front of me at the moment. Shocker. but so it was sort of that boom kind of in the 90s and now sort of today as well of taking these old television series and making them into movies. So what do you love about The Fugitive that makes it one of your favorites?
Well, I love Harrison, obviously, but I also love Tommy Lee Jones. And I just love that cat and mouse chase throughout the entire movie. And I love all those one-liners, in my Harrison Ford song, I say, I could be your one-armed man, and that's the end of the chorus.
I had to ask her what that was from, because I was like, we were talking about it before, and I was like, what's the one-armed man from? She was like, The Fugitive. I was like, all right, that's why I don't know it.
Yeah, it's such a good, my favorite genre of movies is suspenseful thrillers, so I think it's a good suspenseful thriller. I think it also has stood the test of time, too. I think it's just a good movie. It's got that awesome scene where they're in the dam at the end, and I don't want to spoil it for Rachel, but it is a good one. It's worth watching.
Well, have you seen Frantic?
No.
Frantic is another one he's in that's a thriller.
You would love it.
Yeah, it's set in Paris.
Yes, it's in Paris.
Okay, and
it's
Frantic.
Roman Polanski directed it.
I forget the girl's name. I have a running tally of movies where the girl is named Rachel. But I don't think that's her name
anymore. He never knows anyone named Lauren in any movie he's ever done.
I got lots of Rachels. I got Blade Runner. I got Regarding Henry. I got Witness.
So three.
Yeah, Witness. Yes, that's another good one. That reminds me of my childhood. I think that's a great one. My sister lives in the Amish area of Pennsylvania. So,
oh, really? Where?
Yeah. Chester.
Okay,
Chester County?
I'm from Newcastle, and so we used to, that movie, when I watched it, I was like, yeah, this is real. Because we used to drive through Amish country to, like, go see our family, and so, like, you'd always see them in their buggies, and as soon as Witness started, I was like, oh my god, I'm back in Pennsylvania.
Have you seen Witness recently?
No, not really.
Because I went back and watched it, because is it still streaming on Netflix?
I don't know, rented it on my phone.
I think it was like a...
No, it was on Netflix, yeah. They're only taking off Clear and Present Danger.
There you go.
I have Canadian Netflix.
Oh, you have a different Netflix. Oh. Yeah, you might get better ones than us, yeah. But during a snowstorm, I decided to watch it, and it does actually also stand the test of time. I was
Except
really surprised.
Except that one scene where they're all just screaming at the same point.
But there's a purpose to that scene.
No, listen, I have a problem with that scene, because no one is listening. They're all just like, ah! All at the same time. And it's like, why? What? Just why don't you shut up?
But see, I think the point of that scene was to distract the guys with the guns.
No,
it's a purpose to the scene. Thank you. Steph is nodding her head and she agrees with me.
I'm agreeing, but my memory is cloudy about that movie, so I will have to go back and watch that. I should have a bit of a Harrison Ford marathon. There's lots of ones now that you're...
Now, have you seen all the movies that you referenced in your song, or did you use some of them because they either, you know, rhymed or they just fit well into what the song that you were trying to write?
It just kind of worked with, like, the limerick of the song. I've seen a lot of them. I've seen, like, you know, What Lies Beneath. I haven't seen Random Hearts. I haven't seen 6 Days and 7 Nights, so they are in there. Because I think I just pulled up his IMDb and said, okay, how can I make this clever and put in all of these different little Harrison nods? But I honestly haven't seen everyone.
What's the reaction that you've been getting? Do you feel that a lot of people have found you through the song, or have you gotten any sort of, you know, letters from people, or like, what's the reaction that you get to the song?
It's good. It's kind of my little party trick. I play it at gigs, and I'll get people to kind of participate and sing, or I'll play it at social events, and people just really, really like it because it is my funny song. The rest of my music is not really funny.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that it kind of makes people laugh because everybody likes Harrison Ford. I haven't met anybody who says, oh, I can't stand him. He's
Our
awful actor.
Producer doesn't like him.
No, that's not true.
Oh.
Our producer just has never seen Harrison Ford movie and is indifferent to him.
Gotcha. Okay.
So she's just like, I say things to her and she's like, all right. Like, she like just doesn't care. It's not that she doesn't like him. She's like, it's fine. But she's indifferent.
Well, I think it would be a cool, I thought about maybe writing other songs about other actors. Like, I had an idea to do a Nicolas Cage one and talk about all of his movies, but I don't like him nearly as much as I like Harrison Ford.
Well, we've talked a lot about Indiana Jones, so we have an affinity for Star Wars as well.
Yes.
It sounds like you do. So, do you remember the first one that you saw and in your experience about Han Solo?
Oh, I just thought he was, I love that character. I loved him, and I also loved Mark Hamill. I loved the two of them, and Carrie Fisher, I thought she was a great role model, and I have all these wonderful memories of Star Wars. But again, like the first three, not the New Hope, Return of the Jedi, and The Empire Strikes Back, those ones really hold a special place in my heart, for sure.
Do you remember, like, I actually saw them out of order, oddly enough. Do you remember your first experience of, like, did you get to see them in order? Did you see them in the theaters?
Did
you see them on TV?
It was, again, it was like the VHS era of the late 80s when I was just kind of coming of age, and I remember my dad would show my sister and I these movies, and just the action, the sheer action of it, the good versus evil, you know, and I remember Darth Vader being terrifying in the scene where he picks the man up by his throat, and I had these images in my head that were just so terrifying, and then I recently went and saw the new Star Wars in the theater, and it also was incredible. I got a little teary.
So here's a question that I wanted to pose, since we have the three of us who love Indiana Jones and Star Wars. Han Solo, Indiana Jones, if you had to pick...
Han Solo.
Well, I know your answer.
Indiana Jones.
There you go. And why would you say that?
There's something about the leather jacket and the whip and the... There's something...
Wait. Are we talking about the characters or, like, Harrison Ford? Because that's two different questions.
No, the characters.
Oh, okay. Then it's still
hypothetical.
Han.
It's a hypothetical.
But my favorite Harrison Ford is Raiders Harrison Ford. Like, he was looking good in Raiders.
I would still say Indiana Jones 100%. What about you, Lauren?
It's funny, and I think I may have mentioned this before, is that it used to be... completely Indiana Jones, like, and my joke was, well, he has 10 years, so, you know, perfect guy, but since I saw The Force Awakens, I think it's changed, and I it's Han Solo.
I just don't like Han's hair. It's a weird thing. I'm, like,
the
really
long,
big on hair
sort of 70s
for some
hair.
Reason, yeah, and I love Indiana. The thing is, the 1940s is my favorite time period, so, like, I like the way Indiana Jones looks. And, like, he's a fine character and a fine specimen, but I just like how sassy Han is. Where, like, Indy every once in a while has those moments where he's, like, sassy and, like, quippy, but not nearly, like, to the level that Han Solo is, and I just love that.
And it is a Sophie's Choice. And I think it can also change, like, once we start going through the Indiana Jones movies, I might start changing. Like, I'm just on this Han Solo kick right now because of Force Awakens.
Right.
But it's a hard choice, but it's something that I sometimes see on Facebook, like these, like, if you had to choose between the two.
Who would you rather?
Yeah, who would you rather marry, kill, or fuck?
President James Marshall from Air Force One.
She is a thing for Air Force One.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one.
That was my first ever Harrison Ford movie.
Oh, that's a special one.
See, I can't remember because I was just so young. They were just always on TV, so I can't remember a time when Harrison Ford was not in my life. It was all about
so huge in the 90s, especially.
Yeah.
Well, no, I remember seeing movies before then with him in it, but that's like the one I remember because I was 5, turning 6 when it came out. So like, I remember seeing Air Force One, where like I think I saw Sabrina before that, and I saw like. Other of his films, I just don't remember them to the level that I remember Air Force One.
That makes sense.
Because then I think I'd already seen
it. First one, Rachel. What did? You said you didn't remember.
Yeah. Okay. No. Lauren didn't. Yeah. Lauren doesn't remember.
When I was a kid, HBO was always showing Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and Temple of Doom.
Oh yeah.
So I saw them all out of order.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also interesting now that I didn't know until recently that Temple of Doom is first chronologically. So actually, I did see them in order.
She did not know that. Look at her face.
Oh, do you not know this?
I'm shocked.
I know. I was shocked when I found this out. Temple of Doom
is a prequel. It's a prequel to Raiders.
When did they never disclose that in the movie, though, do they?
They put the year up, and that's how you figure it out. But I never knew that.
It's not one of those that you have to know.
Right.
That it's a prequel, but they, like, put the year up and it's before Raiders. I think it's, like, the ending of it alludes to the beginning of Raiders, doesn't it?
Oh, does it? It's been a long time.
I don't remember. I just watched them and I don't even remember, but...
No, I've been waiting to do my research on the movies as we get to them, just because some of them I haven't seen and I want to kind of be clear and not, like, cloud myself.
And then you went and saw Blade Runner.
I did. I did see Blade Runner out of order because there was a chance to have a talk back with the screenwriter. It was going to be on the big screen, which I'm glad I did, actually, because it's such an action-adventure kind of movie.
Sci-fi.
Exactly, that I started watching it on my phone, so I can tell the difference. It was much more exciting, particularly the end, to watch on a large screen. I had never seen it.
Mm-hmm. Some of those movies are important to watch on large screen, like The Force Awakens. I feel like everybody should have experienced it in large screen.
I'm pretty sure you can still experience it on a large screen
probably
somewhere.
Probably so, yeah. But I have to say, I did appreciate Harrison Ford's performance more when I saw it really up close on my computer.
On The Force Awakens or Blade Runner?
Force Awakens. I mean, I thought he was good, but there was just something about being able to sort of see, because he's very nuanced and sort of the emotional quality. Because Han goes through such an emotional journey of anyone in the movie, but I just could see a little more of the nuance of his performance for some reason when I was, like, right up against my face.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I have another, I forgot to tell you guys, I teach high school music, and I've been working with my instrumental music class on the Raiders March for the last 3 months.
That's
how I've been spending my time at work, is learning the Raiders March, and then it just so happens that I got contacted by Rachel, and I told my kids the next day.
Serendipitous.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, that's such a good song. It's got a good trumpet solo in it, and
I love that song.
Well, John Williams. It's John Williams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just brilliant. John Williams is brilliant.
He is. Yeah.
So what was your experience with seeing The Force Awakens? Did you, go see it opening weekend, or did you wait?
It was around Christmas time, so I don't know. I'm trying to gauge. It might have been a couple weeks after it opened, and I had heard kind of, not spoilers, but, things, people alluding to, you need to see it.
That was what I was trying to get to. Oh, that's so sad.
Oh, so sad. And I think you guys have spoken about the Chewie thing, like the Chewie, like, yelling out when he actually, when he gets killed. It's just so sad. A spoiler alert. Can I say that on the podcast?
Yeah, no, you can say. We've already kind of talked about it.
We kind of, unfortunately, have given it away.
Yeah, it was really upsetting. I'm not a big crier, but I do remember shedding a couple tears. It was upsetting. Because it's so nostalgic. Like, that industry of Star Wars, it just reminds me of my childhood or something, really.
Yeah, I think that's the issue with a lot of people, including ourselves.
Oh, yeah, my best friend texted me, when are you seeing Star Wars? And I was like, oh, I'm going right now. She went, okay, and then never said anything else to me. So I was like, okay, whatever. And I called her. She goes, that's why I didn't text you anything. She's like, because the minute it happened, she said, oh, no, Rachel. Oh, no, Patrick, who's my older brother. And then she said, oh, no, Chewbacca. Like, the actual characters were, like, after me and my brother. Because she was like, I knew the two of you were going to be so mad. My brother's like, it needed to happen. I'm like, no, it didn't. Shut up.
It was heart-wrenching.
I still, every once in a while, just think about it and get mad.
Yeah, why did they have to do that?
It was necessary, and I understand that, but I also am like, no, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, and I agree with that, too, but the reason that it's so emotional is because we care. And what you want to do is you want to care about characters. But I suspect that his story is not over yet. I don't think he's alive, and if he is alive, it'd be a cheap trick.
Yeah, he is alive. He fell down onto this barge thing that flew him off the planet before it exploded.
Yeah, I find...
That's exactly what happened.
Yes.
I find it very interesting and very telling that not only did they stab him through the heart, or through the chest...
It was just the chest.
Just the chest, excuse me. Push him off into some sort of, core of the planet... Then the planet exploded.
But he got flown off before then. Han Solo's fine.
Oh, okay.
He has a hole in his chest.
Yeah,
he could come back as a hologram, like Obi-Wan,
But he's not a Jedi, though. That's I thought that, too, but he's not a Jedi.
He's not a Jedi. Oh, so they'd have to come up with...
Can you imagine Force Ghost Han hanging out with Rey? That'd be fucking hilarious. He'd just be there like, no, this is the last thing I wanted. I didn't want to be a Force ghost.
That would actually, yeah, he probably would not be very happy about it. I feel like if they do bring him back in that kind of capacity, it would have to be very creative.
Yeah, he's a Force ghost that follows Rey around. It's great.
It could be a vision. Could be, I don't know. I mean, they can, I'm sure it's been 30 years, discoveries in the Jedi power, who knows.
I talked to a security guy who worked with Harrison Ford
at
Vulture Fest. No, it was just Harrison Ford was not at Vulture Fest, but it was a security guy who at one of his premieres was like walking Harrison Ford, and he goes, "Man, that guy's funny." And I like was like, "Tell me any story." And he's like, "Wow, like there, if there's one person that I would ever like want to know shit about, it's Harrison Ford. Like, just tell me everything."
So did he tell you any cool stories?
I'm trying to remember. He, like, told me about, like, how all the autograph hounds would just keep pulling stuff out, and Harrison Ford would be like, "I already signed something for you." And then he was just, like, people went crazy for him, and he was just kind of, like, the guy kept looking at him, and Harrison Ford just goes, "Please get me out of here." And then, like, everyone going crazy, and I was like, yes.
Because he seems so reserved in interviews, from what I've seen when he's not acting. He just seems very calm compared to his
performance. He's a grumpy old curmudgeon, and I love
him. He's a very private person.
Curmudgeon. That's a good way to describe him.
Great.
I don't want to insult him again. I feel like I've insulted him too many times on this.
That's all right. Me and my friend, my other friend Lauren, always, because her favorite is Jeff Daniels, so we call them our grumpy old curmudgeons. Because it's like the two of them are just like, they seem miserable. Like anytime you see the two of them.
Oh really?
Miserable in the sense that like, just like they're like, "I'm so old, I don't care anymore." And like how the two of them act.
I feel like lately that Harrison Ford is starting to really sort of enjoy what's happening.
Like, yeah, because he's 73. He's like, "I don't know how much longer I got. I got in 2 plane crashes in a year."
I found him warm and funny in interviews and kind of, you know, going with the flow. I think he's kind of, you know, come to terms with it. Because we talked about a little bit in the podcast as well, is that, you know, it was very hard for him at first to sort of deal with the celebrity, which makes sense. Like, it's a, particularly if you're a very private person.
And if you win the genetic lottery, yeah, it must be real hard.
To quote Carrie Fisher.
Well, and he was, yes. He was a carpenter on the Star Wars set, and then he was discovered, right?
No, he was a carpenter he worked with the casting director, who did American Graffiti. He got American Graffiti. George Lucas wouldn't see him for Han Solo because he didn't want to work with anybody he already worked with. So the casting director hired him to come and fix a door in the casting offices and then said that the reader never showed up when they never hired a reader. So they made Harrison read all of Han's parts. So then George Lucas basically had to be like, "All right, well, he's a great Han. Like, he has to be Han Solo."
Yeah, so he auditioned as Han for like 2 days. He was really smart. Fred Roos has helped him with a lot of stuff. He's kind of his mentor. And he also, he was the casting associate on Star Wars. And he also did casting for, as she mentioned, American Graffiti, but also The Conversation.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense now then.
Yes, and a lot of casting directors will do that, where they'll bring someone in for the reader, or they'll do something to sort of, you know, push someone without really pushing them in front of someone until they realize that it's the right decision.
Huh, so sly.
Yeah, it's really good.
Sneaky, sneaky people.
It is sneaky.
But it's sort of become a little bit of a game of telephone, I think, that, because sometimes you hear the story, "Oh, well, he was building a door for Francis Ford Coppola," which is kind of true because it was their office. Like, Francis Ford Coppola and George Lucas had a company together, and so they were in the office. It sort of snowballed, you know, it sort of has become, you know, different sort of lore. And the story that we know may not even be the right story, but we sort of took all the different versions and tried to kind of put it together as one.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. I do have to say, every time I think of your song, I get the lyric, "Jones in for some indie," and every time I'm walking down the street singing it, my one coworker's like, "Why? Why?" Like, it came on shuffle. Like, it's just in my head.
Oh, you need to play it for your coworker.
Oh, she also hates Harrison Ford just because of me. Because I don't stop talking about him at work.
So she should definitely.
I try to make it as catchy as possible.
It's very catchy.
And thank you. That's what I was going for. I also put the Star Wars theme in there too.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da in the middle of, it's a little trumpet solo in the middle.
Oh, wait, you're right. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why that didn't dawn on me until you said it, and I totally hear it. Very smart.
Just little subtleties in there that I was going for. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys like it so much. It really surprised me because I recorded it back in 2009. I wrote it in 2005 when I was living in Australia, and I had no idea that it would ever kind of resurface. It's always just been kind of something in my little small audience following in north of Toronto. But it really meant a lot to me when you guys decided to use it for the podcast.
Well, I think we felt, at least I can speak
to it. It's perfect.
Yeah, because it embodies kind of what our show is that, you know, we're a comedy, and we also do love Harrison Ford. We're a little quirky, but we also, you know, talk about sort of the history. It's just sort of like a really good combination of what we do here and what our show is.
I also call Calista Flockhart Allie McBeal.
How can you not?
Yes. Yeah. I got a little belligerent at a gig one time. I called her out on something. I was really angry about the fact that they were getting married or something in the middle of the song there. But yeah, I think they're still happily married.
They are.
Yes.
Yeah.
As far as we know, it's none of our business.
No, of course. All the best, Calista.
Just looking out for Calista.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I saw on your Twitter feed, guys, the carbonite, the frozen in carbonite thing too. That's another image that I, you know, as a kid, that really stuck with me, and I had to put it in the song too. Like,
I do love that line. Hey. It's really, I mean, well, also, Empire is my favorite Star Wars.
It's on my wall.
I don't know, you know, about you guys, but
My favorite. Okay, I love Return of the Jedi because I love the Ewoks. I have Wicket on my bed. But I also love, I forgot the title of Empire Strikes Back for a second. I also like Empire because I think those are the two where Han and Leia actually, like, it started to be, like, the romantic storyline. Yeah. I think that was where they were like, all right, if we're making Luke and Leia brother and sister, we kind of have to stop this nonsense.
Well, when they filmed that, I'm not sure exactly when they did figure it out, but when they were filming it, they didn't know that.
They didn't, but George Lucas did.
No.
Yes, he did. He said he knew the whole time.
I think he's a liar. Because everything else that you find, and obviously we'll talk about it more when we get there, suggests that it was something that was tagged on last minute because the original idea was that he was going to do three more trilogies and the sister was going to be somebody else. But he was tired. And he didn't want to do another trilogy. And because of the line in Empire, there's another one. They had to back it up. So they went, well, we already know someone. We'll make it Leia.
See, George has always said that he knew that they were brother and sister.
Well, as we talked about in the Star Wars episode, technically in his original script or treatment, Luke had a sister named Leia. But by the time they got to the end, everyone else says, and there's a transcript of them going through the idea for Jedi. In fact, at the end of Jedi, Luke was going to become bad, and then his sister, who he had never met, was going to come out and try to, like, bring him to the light, like Luke eventually does with Vader.
So basically, what happens in the EU with Jason and Jaina?
Yeah, and maybe even in the new movies.
Yeah, she's Jaina's the one. I don't care. Rey is a solo.
So technically, George Lucas could say, yes, I always knew they were going to be brother and sister because of the original thing. But, and again, who knows? We have all these different stories. We may not know. But everything else that I've read, based on what everyone else has said and the transcript for when he and Larry Kasdan were writing Jedi, that was what was supposed to happen. And there's a list of all nine movies that were, you know, the idea of all of them are written out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He has a plan.
Well, not anymore. It's not his anymore. He doesn't own it.
Oh, it's Disney and Abrams, right?
Well, not Abrams.
is like helping, but he's done. He finished.
Yeah,
his...
but he broke the story with Larry Kasdan and I believe Kathleen Kennedy. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure.
For what?
For all three of the next trilogy.
He like they've mapped it out, but yeah, I think but Rain not... basically or Ryan Rain. I don't know what.
Yeah, we're not sure if it's Ryan or Rain. Who's direct? How to pronounce his name? We're not quite sure. I'm sure once the movie comes out, his name will be said a lot. But yeah, he's writing the next two, directing 8. Writing 8 and 9, but only directing 8. Director of Jurassic Park is coming on to do 9.
Mm-hmm. Jurassic World, not Jurassic Park.
Yes, Jurassic. Did I say Jurassic Park? Mm-hmm. Yes, Jurassic World, excuse me. I haven't seen it, because...
It's great. No,
is it?
I saw it like 3 times in the theater. I love a good raptor story. The raptors are the good guys, and it's great.
I do need to see the new one because it's Ryan Reynolds, right?
No, it's Chris Pratt.
Yeah,
Chris Pratt.
That's why I need to see it as well.
Oh, and he got some Chris Pratt. I love Chris Pratt.
Well, yeah, that's his thing now. Yeah.
I got Parks and Rec them all. That's my fave.
Well, I think we're almost to the end of this interview here. Is there anything else that about Harrison Ford that you would like to discuss, Steph?
Oh, I think we covered it all. But thanks so much for having me, guys. This was really fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Informative.
Yeah. And we're gonna play your song for everybody so they can hear it. And
great.
We're going to put links to your Facebook and your Twitter and your music and everything, which you already have done a little bit on our Tumblr and our Twitter, so people can listen to more of your wonderful work.
Oh, well, thanks for promoting me, guys.
Oh, yeah, thank you for letting us use your song.
Anytime.
So thank you so much to Steph Dunn for being our guest. We hope you enjoyed the interview.
And thank you guys for listening. Next week, in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing Hanover Street. Where we're gonna get some shit talking done, cause dear old Lauren learned some information.
Well, they're rumors.
We learned.
I don't know
rumors.
If I can really substantiate those rumors. But it stars Leslie Ann Warren and Christopher Plummer.
Yes,
it's another war movie, World War II movie, but it's another war movie, another movie where he plays a pilot. He seems to be pigeonholing himself a bit, but it's the first movie where he gets to kiss a girl, as
yes,
he would say. That was why he
pretty
did it.
Much.
So we'll talk more about that. And until then, you can follow us on social media. I'm at Lauren Milberger on Twitter.
I am at Rachel Leishman.
And we are also on Twitter as The Fordcast, at The Fordcast PC.
And you can follow us on
Tumblr.
Wow, I'm losing my mind. At Tumblr, at The Fordcast Podcast.
And that's also our official website, so we have information on our schedule, so you can keep up on the movies that we're watching if you want to follow along with us, as well as links to iTunes. Please subscribe to us on iTunes if you want to write a review and tell us what you think. Links to our SoundCloud, our contest, which is about to end, and details how to enter our contest and win some really great, awesome Star Wars prizes. Anything that you need is on our Tumblr.
Yes, and you can find it all there, and then you can contact us and send us nice fan mail.
Yeah, we would appreciate that.
We would appreciate it.
We'd love to hear what you think so that we know how we're doing and what we should do more of or maybe do less of.
Yes. And until then... Oh, yeah, and please rate and review the podcast. If you hear a slight whisper, it was Marika reminding us to tell you guys to rate and review. So
yes,
do it for our silent partner and producer... and editor, and the lovely, lovely, lovely Marika.
Who we owe everything to.
Mm-hmm.
And editor.
Who puts up with me and my sad texts constantly.
But yes, if you leave a review, please also...
rate it.
Rate it.
And until next time, bye!
Here's Steph Dunn.
Heartbreaker Harrison Ford, my seven nights. I'd even jump in carbonite to show you how I feel. I'd eat monkey brains for you. Did you know that I hate snakes too? What do you see? What lies beneath is a random heart that I would take out of my chest for you. Like in the Temple of Doom, I'm jonesing for some Indiana, hoping, wishing, thinking, can a man like him fall for a girl like me? You know I